Today's program has been brought to you by TechServe, New York's original and still the best Apple computer, iPod, and iPhone store and repair shop. For more information, visit TechServe.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Afternoon, everyone. It is Wednesday at 5 o'clock, and if it's Wednesday and it's 5 o'clock and you're listening to the Heritage Radio Network, you're listening to me, Phil Colicchio, hosting The Business of the Business, and that's the show which explores the business side of the hospitality industry. Sometimes we look at restaurants, sometimes we look at hotels, sometimes we look at planes, trains, and automobiles, food trucks, but most of the time, we focus on the entrepreneurial nature of the hospitality industry. If you miss this broadcast live, every once in a while someone misses it live, you can tune your computer screen to www.heritageradionetwork.org, click on to the archive that says Business Shows, and the Business of the Business will pop up, and you can listen to any one of our 30 or 40 or 50 recorded shows in our archive. Happy New Year. It is January 8th, 2014. The station took a small hiatus during the holiday period, which allowed us to regroup and rethink and think about how we want to approach the business of the business in 2014. I don't want to change very much from how I want to approach it in 2013 because I had so much fun speaking with people whose lives have been changed through the hospitality industry, whether they took a job when they were in college and then created a restaurant group, whether or not they happened into a hospitality law class in college and then became PhDs in the hospitality industry, whether or not they were kids on a corner who figured out a way to get themselves into a bunch of different restaurants by calling themselves the men who dine because they loved food and loved to be positive influences. Those of you who pay attention know that the hospitality industry is also a parent many times. And I don't mean a parent as in obvious. I mean a parent as in it raises people. My guest today is an incredibly accomplished, successful gentleman, Charlie Harari. Charlie, how are you?
Great. It's great to be on the show. Thanks so much.
I'm thrilled that you're here. We're going to tell the audience about all of your entrepreneurial activities. This is a fella who has got more going on in terms of business and high quality business and education. He's an attorney. He teaches business classes. He is a public speaker on regular occasions. He leads seminars in how to overcome obstacles, how to overcome fears, how to become a successful person, not just financially, but a successful person spiritually and a successful person just generally in life. The reason he's here, though, is because he's a child of the hospitality industry. Charlie, before we get into all of your incredible accomplishments, and they are incredible, you sit here today, you've got a law degree. You teach at a prestigious business school. You have 3 to 4 companies that operate. You're general counsel for a huge private real estate investment trust. Yet you're sitting here today in Bushwick, Brooklyn in a pizzeria. Why?
Well, this is, well, first of all, it's an honor to be on your show. And, you know, the opportunity to spend the time together and talking is worth it, worth everything being here. And it's really great to be here. And this is sort of how I grew up. I mean, my background is, you know, is pizza. My background is I grew up and my dad, you know, was in food. I don't remember a time where he wasn't. And it was pizza store and it was the, you know, the cafeteria and the summer sort of smaller pizza store up in the mountains. And, you know, my natural environment literally growing up outside school and sports was a place like this. So
wow,
I feel at home.
Well, you know, that's kind of what intrigued me when I first learned about you. That you credit much of your success to the experiences that you had working with your dad, watching your dad work. I think it's incredibly important to understand where a person comes from, not just intellectually, but where they come from in terms of how they saw their mom or their dad or both, how they saw them work, what they saw their values were at work. Tell me a little bit about your dad. Wasn't born here, right? Your dad?
Right. My father is an immigrant. He came from Beirut, Lebanon. His family had originally came from Syria. They moved to Beirut. Things were getting really tough over there. And it was a really difficult time. And my grandmother actually sent half her family out to Israel. She couldn't take them all. And she sent half her family and went with them to America. And they came to the shores in the 70s with nothing.
In the 70s?
Yeah.
During bad clothes and disco.
Yeah. Exactly. And I think some of the pictures of my dad when he first got here probably shows that. So yeah, definitely bad clothes and disco. And they landed here with nothing. I mean, they had nothing. They started from scratch and then, you know, God sort of threw him another curveball. His father passed away literally once they got here. So you've got this family that comes in, doesn't speak the language, you know, ends up in Brooklyn. And then, you know, the patriarch of the family dies. And my dad, being my dad, you know, just, you know, at some point he just says, you know what, I'm responsible for my life. I'm going to make it work. And whatever it is, it'll be. And he just takes it upon himself to create this future, create for himself and for my mom, then they got married, and for his family.
Right.
And the area that he ended up in was food. And he, you know, was driving food trucks when he was younger, and it ended up turning into this food business, this restaurant business, and ultimately this pizza business. And, you know, that's sort of been – I grew up with that mentality of an immigrant father that came in, you know, with disadvantages. He did not have – like some of my friends' dads – they had so much more in terms of a head start.
Infrastructure.
Yeah, right, infrastructure, right, language.
Infrastructure meaning a family unit that's been here for a while, right? How old were you when Dad began the entrepreneurial side of his life that you witnessed and that you learned from?
I was born into it. I remember my father was, when he first started, he was driving food trucks. And I remember being a kid and like just sitting bouncing around that back of that truck. I mean, every Sunday growing up, what I did on Sunday, me and my family, is my father had a cafeteria, a pizza cafeteria in Queens College. That's what he had. He had a small pizza stand there for years. And I remember every Sunday, what we did for Sunday activity is we went to the college so that my dad could stack up the sodas, you know, so get the dough ready. This is what a family did on Sunday. They were helping the business for Monday.
A family event. Did you think you were working when you went there?
No, we didn't know better. We became pizza, you know, connoisseurs. We were able to like test the oregano and is it too much garlic? And we became a little snob. I mean, this was fun growing up. This is what we knew. And the mentality that I think my father gave us was this no excuse mentality.
Right.
You've got a life. It's your life. You got to make it work. And the answer is work harder. And if you can't do it, I have an idea. Why don't you work harder? And if it's too hard, okay, why don't you just work harder?
I think maybe our dads were the same guy. Maybe I just didn't see you around the block, Charlie. Charlie, relate that, please, to that experience, to where you are now and the kind of businesses that you're operating now, because it seemed like such an appropriate start to be able to say, I've got to work with all kinds of people and work with my family and motivate them.
Yeah.
you know, a lot of guys who go to law school just stop there. Tell the audience where you are now, what your focus is on, because I find it fascinating.
So I went to law school mostly because, you know, I found that, and I'm sure we have very similar experiences, you being an attorney, that when you come from parents that are immigrant parents, number one is education.
Yes.
That's like, there's no questions asked. Do whatever you want in life. You got to get the degrees because we didn't have a chance.
Right.
And growing up, I remember even as a kid growing up, I was involved in everything but education. I mean, I was a terrible student growing up, and all I cared about was girls and sports. And I remember my dad always saying, like, I don't care what you do and you can have fun. You got to do well in school. Like, it's not even, like, up for discussion. My mom also.
No, that was the ticket to a free afternoon or whatever. It was do your best in school. If you were blessed enough to gifted enough to be able to get good grades, you were not excused if you didn't work hard enough to get them.
Right.
So that part I share, but I see where you stand now. That's what I'm really so focused on the business that you have now that came out of that.
Yeah. And that to me was a lot of sort of watching, you know, my dad and my mom, they both were such big influences in my life, and watching, you know, that there is a certain life that an entrepreneur lives. There's a certain excitement. It's very difficult, and it's very challenging. And when I went up through the law system and I ended up working in a law firm and then ultimately in-house at RXR, I loved it. I mean, I love law. I love doing it. But there was a piece of me that wanted to just get my hands in a business, to build something, to figure it out and deliver it as a service to others.
Right.
And so we started this company called H3. It's like a VC company. And what H3 does is it really invests in small companies, and we work with entrepreneurs. We launch businesses. It's right in the space of entrepreneurialism. And in truth, a lot of the basics of running any business apply to every business. And whether it's pizza or it's a technology that you're bringing out or it's a new way of, you know, giving a service, at the end of the day, most of it is just a detail. And if you've got good business sense and if you've got those fundamentals down, what you get in one business applies to the other.
But I got an H3. One of the things that I like about a business like that is that you not only bring capital, you know, you bring your own experiences to that entity that you're going to invest in or that person you're going to invest in, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And in fact, we turn away companies that come to us that only want capital. When we get a company that says, invest in us, and we'll say, we'll look at you, and then they'll say, well, we don't really want you, we just want your money. We'll say, even if this is a great deal, we'd rather not. Our goal in this is, can we help build you? Our goal is to make those people as successful as possible. And that's really the driver behind this, because that's what good business is. Good business is good fundamentals.
Tell me about your first venture. When you created H3, you had to make your first bones. You had to make your first investment. What was it?
Yeah, it was a media company.
Really?
Yeah, it was a media company that had a very unique place in the market. And we got into this thing, and we really didn't know just how big the market was. We didn't really know. Because everyone in media thinks that the world is their oyster.
I'm in media right now. In media. You're in media.
Right. And we think that the numbers are exponential. And we think that as long as I'm up there and I'm good, everyone will hear me. And I went in there stumbling. I really did. I went in there saying, okay, I got this idea, and someone came to us to invest, and we got involved in this, and they had a nice niche, and everything was working well, and they had all the right properties around the niche, and the magazine, and the online this, and the products, and it was a really nice fit. And then we realized that after a while, not knowing your customer, not knowing who's listening, not knowing who's buying, can really trip you up. And that's something that I got from my dad a lot. My dad, what's great about my dad's store is that he knows his customers. You don't go to his store just for pizza.
Right.
You go to a store because he knows about your marriage, and, you know, your son's gluten-free and he's got a gluten-free slice in the back for you, and he knows about this, and last week you were upset and did it go well with the job offer. He knows his market. He knows the people around. He knows what they're looking for. He knows what they're not looking for.
You know, a pretty successful guy in this industry once said that hospitality is the anticipation of people's needs. And it sounds like your dad is a master of hospitality. I'm fortunate to be here today with Charlie Harari, who runs the H3 Group. He's also a professor of business at the Cy Sim School of Business at Yeshiva, Yeshiva University. He's an attorney, former general counsel to RXR, a large and very successful commercial real estate private and private REIT. We're going to take a little break right now. When we come back, this child of the hospitality industry is going to give us a few more lessons about how that industry framed his life and is the springboard to his success. Be back shortly.
This special program is brought to you by TechServe, New York's premier authorized Apple reseller and service provider, serving creative professionals at all levels, from individual customers to Fortune 100 companies. TechServe has built a solid reputation in their expertise in technology, sales, and service. Visit them on the web at techserve.com or in New York City at 119 West 23rd Street. Learn more about their in-store classes and incredible insider program. Make stuff happen. TechServe.
And we are back with the business of the business here on the Heritage Radio Network. Phil Colicchio hosting, my friend Charlie Harari, the CEO of H3, a venture capital firm. And Charlie was gracious enough to carve some time out of his day, swing out here to Bushwick, Brooklyn, look at the beautiful fire that is outside our studio, keeping us warm on this very cold day. And during the break, Charlie and I were kibitzing a little bit about our dads because they sound an awful lot alike. And I'm going to tease you a little bit, Charlie, and say, well, you know, you're a big macher, you're a big shot. You can spend your Sundays any way you want to spend your Sundays. You can spend them, you know, taking your kids to the beach, whatever. How do you spend your Sundays now?
Well, Sundays is in the pizza store.
Man.
We go right back every Sunday. This is where we go. You know, yeah.
And how many children do you have?
Five, thank God.
Five. Well, God bless you.
Thank you.
Are they seeing a family-run business? Do they know what they're seeing when they go?
Yeah, oh, totally. I mean, my kids are – at this point, my kids can't go to any other pizza store. They don't have they look at a pizza store.
What's the name of your dad's pizzeria? Let's get it out there.
It's Shimon's.
Shimon's Pizza.
It's on Main Street, Mount Main Street in Kew Gardens Hills, Queens. Right there, it's right off 72nd and Main. If you're around town, check it out. Nice big store in the corner.
Well, I think, you know,
and his name is Mo, so go in there and say hi.
I want to talk about that because, you know, you don't just get pizza there, right?
No.
You just get, what do you get? You get life.
Yeah, you get him. If you go in there, his name is Mo, you say hi to Mo, and he doesn't leave. It's amazing. My dad has people working in the store. It's not just him in there. He just won't leave. He's there when they open. He's there when they close. I said, Dad, like, you don't got to be there every day, all day. And he goes, of course I do. It's the store. This is where I am. He's got a table when you walk in, right in the corner, right in the right hand corner. That's his table. And I've got guys.
Are you sure you're not Italian? Are you sure you're not Italian?
We could have a long lost history together.
That's how we roll. Yeah. You know.
I got guys that are coming in. You know, it's a kosher pizza store, and I got guys coming in looking for a particular. I mean, and not only that, this pizza store has been around for such a long time. There are people that have gotten engaged there. You know, and there's history. Guys will tell me that they came in from Cleveland and Detroit, and they made a stop. And on the way in, my dad goes, you look different. Who are you? And they're like, excuse me, I'm just here to buy pizza. He goes, no, you look different. Where are you? Well, I'm from Cleveland. Da-da-da. How long are you here for? What are you doing? Come back. And like, it's almost been their experience in New York. They stop in. They say hi to my dad. They go to the table.
That's
they
great.
Check in, and they keep on their way. So
that's great. And, you know, again, I'm back to relating with you how that what seems to be very natural, inherent hospitality is again, we talk about the idea that it's really the anticipation of people's needs, of people's things that they want that they might not even know they want, like an extra napkin.
Yeah.
You know, something as simple as that when your dad sees a young family come in, right, and sit down and somebody's having trouble with one of the younger ones and just presents because of that, the experience he's had, and also because it's an inherent trait of a hospitality professional. Line up those traits that you see in what your dad did and probably taught you without intending to, and how that relates to what you do right now with your venture firm.
Well, it's a great point, and it's so similar. What you're saying is exactly right. Anticipation of need is how you build business. There's two types of businesses out there. There are businesses that are there to make money, and that's their job. And I'm not a big fan of those businesses, because the job of a business is to create an entity that is organized around the goal of delivering value. Now, if you deliver value to somebody, they'll pay you for that value. People are happy to pay for value.
That's accurate.
And when people go into business with the, I have another way to make money, as soon as that's their mentality, I start getting a little worried, because then you start doing things that are driven towards just profit. The hospitality industry is the industry of value. I'm going to give you value. I'm going to ask you to pay for that value, of course, but my job is to always be one step ahead of what you will consider value. So, like, I'll give you an example of my dad. My dad sits with me in the thing. Now, you can imagine, he's working all day. He's not a youngster. He's there at 6 in the morning.
Mo.
He's working all day. All right, look for Mo. And I come in with my kids. And thank God I love my kids, and my dad loves my kids. And you can imagine, it's like, you know, Sunday afternoon, and five little kids come running in, and they go back, and they get this fries, and they get their pizzas, and they're so excited. And he sits down, and he's got one kid on his lap and one kid across from him. And he can't help himself. I watch it. All of a sudden, a customer goes up to the display and is looking. 1 second, two, and then all of a sudden, like as if he has radar, he pops up and goes, "Hold on." He goes over, and goes, "You looking for something?" I'm like, "Dad, they'll find it." He goes, "You need something here? It's not here." You look at. I go, "Dad, just give him a minute. Let us enjoy your family." He can't stop. He's anticipating. Someone is lost. They don't know where something is. Maybe they don't see the pizza they're looking for in the 40 choices of pizzas. Maybe they're looking for and. It's what he does. It's the anticipation of what the customer needs.
Yeah, to the casual observer, you know, it's funny, Charlie, because you're making some really great business points. To the casual observer, right, they might think, oh, there's Mo trying to sell, you know, another slice. But that's not what he's doing. You know, most of the people that I work with in the hospitality industry, well, sure, they're doing it. They're doing it because they're not playing third base for the Yankees, right? They have a skill set, and it works in the hospitality industry. But I have seen waitstaff get joy out of helping someone select a dinner that they ultimately, you know, have a great experience with. People think that in a restaurant, people think that the wine professionals, the sommeliers, are there to upsell all the time. That's not what they're there for. They're there to help you have a great experience and help you stay comfortable in an area that maybe you want to explore or that you don't have experience in. It sounds like H3 is the hospitality industry.
Well, that's what we're built on. And I tell all my entrepreneurs that the excitement to anticipate value, the way you put it, was, I mean, I didn't articulate to them this way, but it's right, which is, when you're running a business, no matter what your business is, you need to be excited. to anticipate a need. You have to be able to go out to the street and go, is this working? Is this product working for you? What would you rather see? What would you rather have?
Right.
When you put something to market, the people that say, okay, it's in market, it is what it is. But when they want to know, even let's take, you know, the company Apple, right? Apple put out iPads.
I've heard of it.
And what made them so great, ultimately? What made Steve Jobs is because he was obsessed with making sure the experience was amazing. Yep. He wanted people to experience it to the extent in which they couldn't live without it. There was a sense of, I want to ensure that the best experience you're getting, and we're going to anticipate it. That's hospitality. All business is hospitality if you think about it.
You know, amen to that. The idea, let me ask you this. We haven't talked about everything that H3 has done. Have you done any investments in the food or the hospitality industry yet?
Sure. I mean, we've got grocery stores, and we've got, you know, all different types of things mm-hmm. in that space. You know, there's a grocery store that we built that separated itself from a very crowded space, mostly because the people in the grocery store was trying to figure out what people needed. My partner, who launched this, and really it's his credit, a man named Henry Koftal, who's a genius in that field, and this is really his.
Where is it?
This is in Long Island, mm-hmm. and he launched this grocery store. It's called Gourmet Glot, and what he did was, and this is all to him.
That's a home run. Yeah. Tell me.
And what he did was brilliant. What he did was he walked into the store and he figured as follows. A lot of his customers were running around and buying bits and pieces from different stores. They were going to the fish store. They were going to the, you know, to the meat store. They were going to the flower shop. And they would go to the supermarket, and then they would leave and go to all these shops. And he came in and he said to himself, wait a second. Why would I have him leave the place? And he went to the neighborhood and he said, listen, you've got a fish store down the block. Would you want to open up a kiosk in my grocery store so when someone's shopping down the aisle, they stop and get what they need in the fish? And the guy goes, I'd love to do that. Then he went to the place who was making the bakery. And he created a new concept that has literally shifted the profitability of that one store. And the concept was, why don't I take a lot of the ancillary food spaces and put it into the store in a smaller physical space? And the people were the people that had these shops were happy to come in. And now a person goes shopping in a supermarket, but now they had everything around that they needed. And this one shift changed the way people flocked to that store. And watching this part of our business grow and watching my partner in this particular area work, I see that every day, every week, when we get on these calls, the question is, how can we make it better? What are they thinking? What do they want? Do you know what they want? Let's figure out what they want.
Yeah. How about this? We ask them, right?
Yeah.
I mean, how about that? We value them and we talk to them. You know, ideas like that, I think the greatest ideas, right, are the ones that make us take our palm and slap ourselves in the head and say, well, of course, we should have been doing that months and years ago. To create effectively a gourmet market for a constituency that follows dietary rules.
Yeah.
That, you know, Glatt Kosher, for those of you who don't know, is a particularly focused set of food preparation for the conservative Jewish community. I've had my share of kasha and bow ties. Thank you very much. And I would tell you that Glatt Kosher, I think outside of that community, has kind of an odd rap, right?
Yeah.
Is that, oh, it's odd. It's sort of, what is that?
Right.
But that's only because because it's a cultural food.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's cultural foodstuffs. That being said, what you've done is to help create a community, which is exactly what hospitality does, what the hospitality industry does. Charlie, we're going to wrap up today's segment, and we're gonna have you come back next week, talk a little bit more. I want to talk more specifically about H3 and what the people listening should be thinking about if they're entrepreneurs and how they should be reaching out to you. I should have prepped you, but I didn't. I like to say before I go off, got a guy here born of the hospitality industry, uses the principles of hospitality every day of his life. in business environments that you might not think right away are in the hospitality industry. Give our listeners three takeaways that if they're entrepreneurs, they can say, Charlie Harari gave me three good pieces of advice today.
Yeah.
What are they?
First and foremost is the ability to take control over your future. We're so quick to blame, to point the finger, to say, I can't. The environment, the Congress, the president, the work environment, there's so many reasons why this isn't going to work. First and foremost is when you come in and take responsibility for the best product you can make, you gain ability that you didn't know you had in there. And when you wake up early and go to bed late and you take that pride, first and foremost, you find a piece of yourself and a piece of your product that you didn't have. Number two, anticipate what people really need. We usually do things that we would like, and we see the world through our eyes. In truth, the way you make it is when you start to see your world in somebody else's eyes. And when you can look at yourself through the eyes of your customer or your desired customer and say, what do they really want, even if I don't necessarily need it, then you start to create products that they're looking for. And last, I think for sure, not least, is that the goal always has to be more value than you receive. If you want to make it, you want to make money, you can make money, but the driver has to always be, I want my customer to feel special and getting the value that they're happy to give me what I want in return in terms of a cash equivalent, versus let them feel like, well, I had to pay for it, but I don't know if it was there. And I find those are the three things. I actually have, if you want, I have a series online on the
you
website.
You know, I wasn't going to let you go without telling the audience how they can contact you, how they can contact H3, and also how they can really check out what else you're about. I'm fascinated with some of the other side of that bit of H3 we're going to get to next week. But how do they contact you?
The best is on my website. I've got this series right now called Change, an interesting audio series that we just put out. 10-part. Just go to charlieharari.com, CharlieHarari, charlieharari.com. And it's all there. We've got videos. We've got audio series. We've got a whole bunch of fun stuff. All in this area, because this is what I love. I mean, you love it too. I'm looking at you. Your face is lighting up. This is really what we love talking about, and we can talk about it all day.
The fascinating, multi-talented, hugely successful Charlie Harari, child of the hospitality industry. Folks, I want to thank you for listening in today to Heritage Radio Network. This is Phil Colicchio, host of The Business of the Business. See you next Wednesday, 5 p.m. Hey, don't forget to listen. We've got a new show called Inside the Industry that airs every Wednesday at 4. You probably want to tune into that if you like the business of the hospitality industry. Take care.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.